Welcome in to another edition of Inside the Huddle. Sam Wirt alongside Kyle Etherington here to bring you all the recaps of this week's in sports. And we're going to add on some other sports as well. You've heard us talking mostly football, but we're going to talk some volleyball. We'll talk some soccer as well today. We'll start with volleyball. And we have head coach of the Clinton Prairie Gophers, Kathy Martin, on the line. Kathy, how are you doing?
Pretty good. How are you guys?
We are doing well. You're over there watching your girls play today, correct?
Yeah, so my son and daughter are playing over at Boiler Juniors, and we got a junior high tourney going on at Clinton Prairie, so we still have volleyball all day today.
Oh, absolutely. It never stops.
It doesn't.
Well, we were talking earlier this week. You guys had a really nice match against Frontier the other day, and your senior Abby Swan eclipsed 1,000 assists in that match. Talk about that match a little bit, and then talk about Abby Swan.
Yeah, so we've really been kind of on the struggle bus a little bit. I mean, we have this huge potential, but seeing the kids, you know, grasp that and really take it sometimes is, you know, the bane of coaching. So I just felt like we really kind of grew in the Frontier game. We really kind of came together as a team, kept up that energy and such. So that was all really positive, I felt like. And then Abby's just, I mean, a testament to her whole volleyball career. She is a fantastic player. Her volleyball IQ is probably double mine. so she's on track in her career to hit 1,000 kills, 1,000 digs, and then she just hit that 1,000 assist mark.
Absolutely. So talk about the kind of the season in general. Take us back to preseason and kind of your expectations for this year. This is, how many years have you been coaching for Clinton Prairie now?
So this is my second there at Clinton Prairie. This will be my 11th year overall.
Gotcha. So second year, you got a year under yourself now, and now you got to really input the way that you want to coach the team and build up your program. So going into preseason, kind of talk about your expectations for this year, and then now close to the halfway mark, what have you seen from your squad so far?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of joked at the beginning of the season. I said, now we get to actually see if I'm a decent coach or not, because it's year two. We just have really tried to build this program up. You know, Clinton Prairie's had a long tradition of, you know, good sports programs overall. And so just kind of rolling into this year to really implement some different things. We've brought a lot of our coaching staff back. That's always helpful, you know, to have that solidarity across the board there. And so our message here at preseason was just kind of like that each team is different. Right. And so last year, kind of our game plan was don't let the ball hit the floor. Like, we may not get 95 kills in a match, but we're not going to let the ball hit the floor. And while that part of the game is still important, our offense has really grown over the last year. And so just that different dynamic that it's okay to be a dynamic team. It's okay to not be pigeonholed into you're an outside hitter, you're a middle, you're a right side, and have that flow in the game. And just really playing volleyball. You know, when we just play volleyball, we do a lot more plays than, you know, when we're stuck in a rut of it has to look like this or be this.
Coach, great to hear your voice again. Kyle Etherington here. You're a Clinton Prairie kid, correct?
Kathy, are you still there?
Oh, I think we might have lost her.
Well, we might have lost Kathy. We'll try to get her back on the line if we can.
Oh, wait, am I back?
You're back. Here we go.
Oh, I'm back. Okay, sorry. Yeah, I thought Kyle started talking and then I went away. No.
That happens right. Quite often all the time. I don't know.
Yes, all right. So, Kyle, I missed the end of your question there.
No, you're fine. You're a Clinton Prairie kid, correct?
Correct. Yep, I graduated in 2005. We won't talk about how long ago that was.
So. Hey, I'm a 2002 Western grad, so it's all good. What does it mean to be able to go back to Clinton Prairie and to build up that program and everything like that? That's got to be an absolute thrill for you.
It is. And, you know, it's not something that I necessarily thought about. I mean, even looking back now, like, I never thought in high school, like, hey, I'm going to come back and coach Clinton Prairie someday. It wasn't really in my repertoire. Honestly, I got into coaching because I got injured in college. And so that kind of put me on a track there for some coaching. And I absolutely love my time there at Rossville. You know, it kind of made me into the coach I am today. And when I left Rossville, you know, there was no complaints whatsoever. Rossville is a great school and a great program. You know, I loved every minute over there. And I think the only place I would have gone besides Rossville would have been Clinton Prairie. So just to come back to that, you know, there's that family aspect of my kids can just come down to the gym, you know, for practice, that they have some of these players in their classes and seeing those things, you know, that connection across the board, you know, having that vertical alignment in our program of, you know, kids in kindergarten are getting the same coaches and players. They're seeing those same things as they are in high school. It just means a lot, you know, that strong tradition there at Prairie. You know, we're just there to continue that and to help foster that along.
And you got that strong tradition at Prairie, but one thing that I've always noticed about your programs is your social media game is second to none compared with others that we see around the state. Sometimes it's difficult just to get somebody to update, but kind of talk a little bit about what you do as far as social media is concerned, because as the kids say, your social media game is on fire.
Well, I know that in order for these kids to get the recognition they need and they deserve, you know, we've got to put it out there. We kind of have to toot our own horn in some regard. And if that is what helps these kids get some of that recognition, then count me in, right? That's an extra, you know, 5 minutes of my time to just kind of put that out there. Let people know what these kids are doing. I've always said it's more than just about volleyball. Like, I want these kids to be better volleyball players at the end of their careers. But overall, I want them to be better individuals. I want them to know, you know, how to go out into the world and make the world a better place. And all of these student athletes are capable of that. And I think just promoting not only the athletic side, but then also what they're doing. I mean, last night we're setting up nets for the junior high tourney, and I had 7 of my girls jumping in junior high and playing queens with our junior high kids. And that wasn't anything that I initiated, that's just something they did. And so just to be able to highlight both sides of that, you know, with a little bit of social media, that's something that I can get behind.
Absolutely. I love that. We talked about Abby Swan a little bit. Talk to me about some of the other players that have really been key for you guys' team this year and people that have really stepped up for you guys.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing about our lineup this year is that it's so dynamic. We don't have someone that has to play a certain position, which has really helped us. If we're just not doing well in a serve-receive rotation, we just change it. And our outside becomes a middle, and our right side goes to a different pin. That's really been a benefit to us overall as a squad. But Hailey Wilson has been really good for us. She plays opposite of Abby Swan. Both of them swing in all three positions in the front row, and both of them set in the back row. So just having those players that can honestly play anywhere and wherever we need them. Bella White has really stepped up in that middle, and then she actually swings on a pin a couple times. And if you would have told me that was going to happen last year, I probably would have laughed at you. I love Bella, but I was like, she's not going to be an outside hitter. And now she does that for us too and swings out there. Our defenders, Campbell Carter and Ellie Brettnocker, they're both sophomores. So we are senior heavy this year. We have 6 seniors. But then our 2 sophomores have really stepped up when it comes to defense. They're back there along with another senior, Natalie King, and I've told them we're going to live and die by serve receive. If we can't pass the ball, like we can't just free ball it over. We're not a team that's going to do well with that. And they've just really stepped up to the plate. So I'm just really proud of all of them and how well they've stepped up into that.
Absolutely. Talk about some of your upcoming matches, and you know you have a match, I believe, on Monday against Tri-County. Talk about that, and then kind of the rest of your schedule, what you're looking at the rest of the year.
Yeah, so we play Tri-County on Monday, and then we have Sheridan Wednesday, and Thursday is Taylor. So we have a couple conference matches coming up this next week. Tri-County is a pretty good squad. They've got some really dynamic middle hitters, so that's going to be a good test for us, I feel like. Just to continue our momentum, you know, other teams are going to get kills, and that's going to happen, but how do we bounce back? How do we change what we need to do on our side of the net to take other teams out of their rotation, out of their game? So I'm excited for this next week and kind of see where we're at there. We go pretty heavy when it comes to conference games the second half of the season, which is good for us. Kind of got our warm-up before we finish out this conference matchup. And then heading into sectional, you know, we know that there was the redraw this year. There's Rossville is back in our sectional. We have Frontier back in our sectional, Bethesda Christian, Traders Point, Clinton Central, Tri-Central. You know, these are teams that we'll know. And so how we get this sectional, like, I'm just really excited about it. I think we're going to have some big crowds. I think it'll be fun. That's what I'm most excited about is volleyball in our area and just the growth, especially in Clinton County. Like, that's how we get everybody better, to have everyone grow in that. So I'm excited to see where we'll go here the second half of the season.
And you certainly had a lot of support from the Gopher Gang. I think I saw some pictures on social media of some of the football players going absolutely crazy in the front row, so that's wonderful to see. Talk about the strategy that you employ against different teams. Do you go in with a singular mindset of don't let the ball hit the floor every time, or is there certain things that you try to exploit with different teams?
Yeah, we definitely try to scout with different teams kind of based on what they have. But then our biggest message is that, you know, serve receive, we are going to pass on serve receive. And if we lose more than 3 points, we need to change something. So we're changing things. We're looking at something different. Give us a different look to make that change, to make that difference. I mean, you mentioned the Gopher Gang. They've been huge this year. I mean, we have been filling the bleachers from floor to the top part of those bleachers. That's just been fantastic of the support. Our cheerleaders have started coming to our home games this year, and they've really gotten the crowd going with different chants and things. We play better when that is behind us, and, you know, as most athletes. And so that's been huge to bring that back into the program.
I love that. And a question or an answer you had a little bit ago, you talked about kind of the growth of volleyball in Clinton County. Would you go into that a little bit more? What have you seen over the past few years that really has grown the game?
Yeah, I'll admit, I think last year the best coach team in our county was Frankfort. I thought Kia did a fantastic job last year with that squad, and, like, they're continuing to grow. I mean, when it comes to in the county, like, I don't know who the best team is, and that's a good place to be. You know, Rossville has a fantastic squad coming out with, you know, Addie Gorbett there on the outside. You got Ava Burkle on the right side. You've got Elise Oaks and Allie Neubauer. I mean, just to be able to name three or four people per team that you've got to look at in Clinton County, that says a lot about Clinton County volleyball. And I think that's just huge. I think E.B. Simmons has been doing a great job out there at Central. This is her first year. You know, just that level up. We can only get so far if one squad is doing great. But when you have all four county schools leveling up the play of volleyball, we're all going to get even farther. We're going to be able to pursue that even more with each other.
I love that. And before we wrap up, we talked about the social media a little bit. If fans want to follow you guys on social media, how can they do that?
Yeah, we're at CPVBall. And if you just search Clinton Prairie Volleyball, we should come up. Or if you search Prairie Athletics, it's right there with that. So we're posting after every game. Before every game, we've got that. So, yeah, follow us on there. You'll see all the good things our kids are doing. And we just love being able to highlight that for them.
Well, thanks, Coach Martin, for joining us today and talking a little bit of Clinton County volleyball. We appreciate it. And good luck the rest of the season. We hope to see you out at a match sometime.
Yeah, that sounds great. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you, Coach.
Whoever said size doesn't matter hasn't been to Winski Brothers. Hi, this is Jim Byers from Winski Brothers inviting you to check out our new 70-foot truck scale. That's right, 70 feet. It's practically a landmark, making it easier than ever for you to get in, get out, and be on your way. Why? Because customer service isn't just words. It's 70 feet of promise. Check it out for yourself at 751 West Washington Street in Frankfort, or visit WinskiBrothers.com. Winski Brothers, because size definitely matters.
It takes strength to trust your natural ability. It takes strength to rely on hard work alone to elevate your game. It takes strength to refuse to improve your performance by artificial means. In other words, it takes strength not to use performance enhancement drugs. High school sports help give today's young athletes the strength they need to reject performance enhancement drugs. Instead, it teaches them to reach higher, to achieve their full potential. At the Indiana High School Athletic Association, we're committed to helping teenagers understand the dangers of using performance enhancement drugs. They're not just illegal, they're also no substitute for hard work, dedication, and desire. Reach higher. This message brought to you by the IHSAA, inviting you to support the athletic events at your local high school. You'll like what you see.
Aloha seniors age 50 and older. Get ready to catch the wave to the 35th annual WILO Senior Fair, Hawaii 50+. Join us Wednesday, September 25th from 9 to 2 at the Community Life Center located at 2056 East Wabash Street in Frankfort, right behind the First Church of the Nazarene, for a tropical day of fun. Enjoy free admission, free breakfast, free lunch, and free entertainment. Test your luck, playing bingo, and sign up for amazing door prizes. Explore over 45 booths from local businesses and organizations offering products and services tailored just for seniors. And flu and pneumonia shots will be available too. It's all happening at the Community Life Center in Frankfort, Wednesday, September 25th. Wear your favorite Hawaiian shirt or muumuu, shake out your grass skirt, and catch the wave with WILO for a day of island fun at the 35th annual WILO Senior Fair, Hawaii 50+.
Back now on Inside the Huddle, quarter number two, joined now by Clinton Central head football coach Jeremy Fenley. Coach, you had a good game last night against Sheridan, ultimately falling 43-26. I'll leave an open-ended question. Just tell me what your thoughts from yesterday's game were.
Well, I mean, clearly we wish we would have came out and played a little different in the first half, but the second half, I thought our boys came out and never gave up, fought the whole time. Our offense is clearly starting to move and become very dynamic. Still trying to work on a few things defensively. But by and large, I felt like our kids could have rolled up and gave up after the first half, but they didn't. As I always say, our boys are very, very resolute. They're very driven. So I was extremely proud with the second half effort and how we came out and just continued to fight. You got to remember, we're 1 year away from most of our games ending by 9 o'clock because of a running clock. So the fact that we're in every game and, even last night, a couple things go our way, man. That game, at one point it could have been 31-35. So there's a lot of optimism and things that we see on the future. And, as long as we're playing our good football, come sectional time, anything can happen.
Absolutely, and Creed Menon had a really good game for you guys. Caught a couple of touchdowns, rushed for a couple of touchdowns, over 200 yards from scrimmage. Talk about him, his impact yesterday.
Creed is just another one of those guys that just picks up his lunch pail and comes to work every day, right? So he had 129 yards rushing and 85 yards receiving, like you said. And, he's a dynamic player for us on defense. I moved him to kicker. So he's the one that kicked the onside kick that we got. Creed, there is a whole host of guys, right? So any week, it can be Amron Barrett, it can be Clayton Stevens, Levi Jacobs, Hayden Walters, Luke Shelley. There is a plethora of offensive talent when it comes to being able to get out there and be dynamic, and which is really a testament to Dan Douglas and our offensive staff, right? So, they may try to remove one aspect of our offense. Week one, it was Clayton Stevens. Then week two, it's Amron Barrett. So, we were able to just kind of find where we're going to be able to get in. And, I thought our guys did a really good job.
You mentioned onside kick and everything like that. Now, as a teacher, I see kids watching highlights on YouTube all the time. What exactly is the thinking that goes into an onside kick in terms of how you need to kick it, where you need to put certain players, and everything like that. For example, why was Creed? I love that name, by the way. Why was Creed the one that you saw potential in him to do the onside kick? And just kind of talk about the thinking that goes into an onside kick, because it seems a lot more simple than probably what it is to a lot of people.
Well, to be honest with you, we made Creed the kicker that week, so it there was no like Creed, we're doing this for you specifically.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest with you, last night I was just like, why not? Like, you know, we just scored. It was like, hey, if we can get the ball back and do it again, like maybe we can, you know, like we haven't even practiced onside kick. Like, I just went to Creed and I was like, hey, just kick the top of the ball. It needs to go 10 yards. And we want it to hop, like, right as it gets to the 10 yard, like, you want it to pop up. And he was like, okay. He was like, just give me some advice on where to kick it. And I was like, just kick the top of the ball. And, you know, and the first one worked, second one didn't. But, you know, I mean, we were just doing anything, you know, and we got a spark and it helped, you know, and then we kind of got things moving again, scored again, and it, you know, brought it to like within 9 at one point. So, like, we were, you know, we had some things going for us. But, you know, strategically, there was no rhyme or reason. You know, like at one point I went for a fake punt just to try to spark something, you know. Like, it was probably an ill-advised moment. But, you know, you look to let your team know, you know, like, I trust our guys. Like, I want them, guys, if you're listening, like, I trust you completely. Right. So, like, sometimes I feel like in order for them to see that, like, I've got to do something bold and outside the box just so they can be like, okay, hey, coach is putting this now in our hands. You know, so can we execute and make it happen, you know? And sometimes it's a great coaching call. Sometimes it's not, you know, but at the end of the day, you know, we're in this together. So
ultimately, hindsight is 20/20 on those good calls or those bad calls as well. Do you find that the players get more excited for plays like that, or is it just kind of business as usual? Because, you know, playing video games, I'm sure these guys are running all different sets of wild and crazy stuff. Does that really get them fired up and going, or is it just business as usual on special plays like that?
Well, again, I think when you can put buy-in to the guys, right? So, like, so we're very good sometimes to be like, hey, what do you think? Like, I'll ask them, hey, what stunts do you think? Hey, is this working if we do this? Hey, no, we need to do this. Like, we've spent the last 2 years on a defensive culture really trying to teach that this is why we're doing it, right? And our guys are phenomenal now, right? Like, they can make their adjustments. You know, schematically, sometimes they will make changes because it's just easier for them to react, right? So instead of, like, a guy following in man, maybe they roll the safeties down and the safety rolls back when technically the scheme calls for something else. You know, like, they come up with their own call sometimes just to kind of help them figure it out. But I think, you know, just as a former player, right, like, whenever George would kind of give us some autonomy to kind of do some things, you know, I think, A, you know, you feel proud that, hey, my coach is giving me a little bit of leash here. I don't want to fail, you know. But I think sometimes, you know, like they need that structure. Right, like, hey, this is the play we're gonna do. Hey, okay, coach has got it figured out. This is what he wants us to do. Let's do what he needs us to do.
One thing you've talked about all year is kind of the buy-in, the motto, the identity of your team is that no juice, no use. And maybe I've asked you this before, but kind of explain that to us. What's the history behind that, and how has that affected your team?
Well, so when I was at Westfield, like, we used to go and kind of watch the Colts. Darius Leonard used to have this thing where he would talk about, like, bringing the juice, right? So, and it's, the juice is kind of always out there, right? Like, everybody's, like, Ohio State has a thing, right, where they're like, bring the juice. You know, the juice is just like energy, enthusiasm, productivity, you know. You know, sometimes there's just a lot of activity, but no real productivity, right? So, like, you could just be kind of doing something, but if you're not harnessing that, you know, so, like, we would, I don't want to have 47 cones on the sideline, right? Like, I want everybody actively engaged, whether on the field or not. So that's where the no use part comes into that, right? So, like, if you're not going to bring the juice, the motivation, you know, the enthusiasm, then why, like, why would you work so hard at this? Like, football's a hard game. It's very demanding, time and physicality and everything. You know, so, and it's just, you know, we kind of used it at Westfield a little bit. It was, I kind of took some ownership of it as a position coach. really pushed it with my outside linebackers there. And I felt like when we came here, it was just like a culture fit. I felt like we had all the pieces. It's just nobody was really propping up the enthusiasm part of it, right? Like I want our team and our school and our community to be proud and enthusiastic about athletics at Clinton Central, you know. So, I know that I specifically use it for the football team, you know, but like I have kids all over the building, you know, like our cheerleaders are phenomenal, right? Like they use it. I have middle school kids in the hallway who walk by. I'll go to the elementary school and kids are saying, "No juice, no use, coach," you know. And I mean, like our youth program, shout out to you guys. You guys are phenomenal, all the youth coaches. So it's really finding that universal theme that everybody can get behind and kind of help steer your ship in the right direction. I thought that it was good. You know, like sometimes we'll go and get like box juices and take them to the youth kids so they actually get to have juice on the sideline. And, you know, I mean, and it's just one of those things, you know, to where I felt like it was a great way to start, and you know, got a lot of buy-in, and no juice, no use.
Is Clinton Central going to become the new Lod House of Clinton County, like the Colts and everything like that? Are you going to have an anvil that you hit before games? Like, kind of talk about certain things that you've added, like. I've seen college teams that whenever somebody gets an interception, they have a big chain and a big necklace that they put on. What you kind of talked about the juice boxes with the little kids and everything like that, but talk about some of the stuff that you've done to kind of increase that excitement, just different things that have become traditions now.
Well, I mean, so we're still trying to figure out our identity, right? So, like, we have a takeaway belt that we've used a little bit. I don't know if it's the flash and flare as far as that part goes, but I do love, you know, and we've talked about bringing back some things. You know, we have pride pins. So pride for us is an acronym, personal responsibility and daily effort, you know, so the guys they work every week to earn their pride pin. So at the end of the season, if they get 7 nominations for their pride pin, they get an actual pride pin to wear on their letterman's jacket or whatever.
Nice.
You know, that's anything from classroom, home behavior, huddle time, attendance at school. There are some things that we do to generate the buy-in, you know. And, we've talked about different things, juice awards, you know. So we try to promote that stuff through our play on the field. And then we kind of the recognition piece will come.
Absolutely. You started off 2-0, as before we wrap up, started off 2-0 and have played really tough last 2 games against Clinton Prairie and against Sheridan. And I know your guys are probably back in the locker room, back in the film session, back to work today in the weight room and just ready to get back to work. How do you get back on track next week as you play Taylor?
You just got to have a short memory, right? So like I'm going to leave here and head to the school and start, you know, watch the Sheridan film, you know, try to take some, you know, you don't want to dwell on it too much, but you want to go and kind of pull, you know, your 2 or 3 big lessons learned, you know, and you want to find, hey, these are some things that worked for us, you know, you don't want to, you know, throw the baby out with the bathwater, as they say, you know, you want to kind of pick some good and some bad and you want to move forward, but like, you got to, in this game, I mean, you got to have a short memory, right? Like, you got to be willing to lace them up on Monday. And like our guys were already talking about wanting to come in and meet with position coaches and coordinators and watch film and, you know, just trying to balance all of that. And, you know, and then, you know, one of my assistant coaches is getting married tomorrow. Shout out to Nick and Ashwin. Wish you guys the best of luck. But, you know, so it's going to be a crazy weekend for Clinton Central football, getting ready to go and have homecoming next week against the Taylor Titans.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Coach, for joining us today after your game against Sheridan, 43-26. You'll be back in action next week against Taylor. Talk about, just real quickly, what you see in Taylor, just your initial thoughts.
Well, so their head coach, Rob Patchett, and I coached together at Westfield. So I know Rob. I know that team's going to be well coached. I know he has a lot of passion. So, you know, and they're... they're doing some things over there. They've won a couple games. They're putting some points on the board. You know, they apparently they had a good game last night against Eastern. So, you know, I think this conference, there's some of the teams that have been super dynamic are still such. But, like, I think some of the guys that may have been at the bottom, like, I think we're all on the rise now. So what may have been thought as an easy game may necessarily be a hard-fought battle. So I'm looking forward to it. I have a lot of respect for Rob and his staff and that program. So I'm anxious to see how it goes.
Well, thank you, Coach. I appreciate you joining us on another edition of Inside the Huddle. We will take a quick break. Remember, Inside the Huddle is sponsored by Winsky Brothers. Next up, third quarter, we've got head coach Blake Betzner of the Carroll Cougars after the Bacon Bowl.